Blog Talk Radio.
Myself, Mike Sledge. Welcome everybody, filling in for Will Miller tonight, who couldn't make it. So thanks for tuning in, and thanks for tuning in and listening to all the great shows here and information here on Renegade Broadcasting. And also, do not forget to go to nationalprotectionism.com. You can begin the journey of taking this country back by signing the petition there to get rid of all the dual citizen vermin traitors and scoundrels out of our governmental system here in this country. Kyle, what's going on, man? Did I hear it? I'll keep on going. So, welcome, everybody. A lot of stuff to talk about. tonight, and I have a lot of information I want to get into. Number one, there's been a lot of loose talk going around, a lot of critics out there to what we're doing, and that's to be expected. A lot of critics saying that, you know, it's more important to garden and grow vegetables than it is trying to get rid of the vermin in the government. And let me say this, you can grow vegetables and garden and do stuff like that all day long, and that's fine. It's good to know those skills. But at the end of the day, do you think the people that own farms in Russia after the Bolshevik Revolution weren't railroaded off their property, their farmland stole and shipped off to Siberia because they here if we don't get proactive instead of reactive? So you can grow vegetables and garden all day long, but that's not going to stop you from being shipped out when the day comes they want to get rid of you.
Mike, exactly. Sorry about that. I had to fix a mic audio setting through Skype, and now I'm actually being heard. Hey, thanks so much for doing the show tonight and all the hard work you do. There's a lot that's going on, and you've been really an integral part of it. And just wanted to say, good show last night with Siegfried. People should check that out. Call of the Ancestors, dealing with the 60s, and that's really one of the places where this whole pacifism and apathy really started to take hold. You know, change the world by dropping out and dropping acid. That's what's really gonna change the world. You know, free your mind and your body will follow. You know, this is really a poisonous way of thinking that was foisted upon the American people, and it had its effect at the time, but this is, as some people have said, a multi-generational struggle, right? And what they were intending to do was indoctrinate a lot of people who'd become parents into this way of thinking, and then those parents would raise up a whole new generation of kind of multicultural, free love type of useless people.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, they have promoted this kind of leftist, communistic type of ideology, and they were waiting to kind of reap the rewards later on down the line as well. But the good thing is that kind of propaganda, that kind of programming can easily be defeated with sound reason, sound logic, and also some fighting spirit.
Absolutely, Kyle. I totally agree. And, not only by not being proactive and remaining on the defensive and being pacifist and being all granola-eating hippie-ish, that doesn't get you anywhere. It didn't get anybody anywhere in the past, and it's not going to get anybody anywhere in the future. And look, a modern example, forget the people who were forced out of their farmland in Russia after the Bolshevik Revolution and shipped off to Siberia. Let's look at modern times. Look who let's go to South Africa and look at the farmers there who are being killed, okay, who are being genocided in South Africa. There's those farmers that want to grow food and help the economy there, and they're being killed on a daily basis there in a white genocide, which cannot be forgotten. So we need to stand up and be proactive instead of reactive. And this defensive, remaining on the defensive posture is for losers, and it's not going to get us anywhere.
Yeah, and a lot of people within the truth movement, the conspiracy culture, hey, the Jew-wise movement as well, they have fallen victim to this and continue to look to the enemy's propaganda for inspiration. A good example of this would be Star Wars, where they're always warning about the evils of hatred and taking out your anger on your enemies. And, oh, it's just the way to the dark side, and once you go down that road, you're never going to come back. And it's just this complete bullshit propaganda that they installed so as to channel the energies of any young person who is looking to fight evil oppressors and get them to go and look at things in this one particular way. And it's all right there for you if you actually consider what the dark side, what the Empire was representing in that film. That was representing the German Reich. And actually, the propaganda posters from World War One show this. The Darth Vader helmet was basically taken from inspiration from a World War One propaganda poster, convincing U.S. youngsters to fight up to go beat back the Hun. It's got that black helmet right there, and even Darth Vader, the Vedas.
Mm-hmm.
It all ties right in, and you look at the music they were using to represent them. Even the Emperor and Darth below him, these guys are basically representing some kind of druidic class. You look at what the Emperor was actually wearing. He's not dressing up like some regal type of Jewish king or anything. No, this guy's very much a minimalist. He is. He's a spiritual. A practitioner as well. They were very much right. The dark side was pretty much completely analogous to the German Reich, and
yep.
You know, all the propaganda that they pushed in that one was really intended to get us to never consider actually using our anger towards destructive and constructive ends.
Exactly. And you know, it's fine when you're on the establishment side, on the Jewish side, the controller side, to use hate and violence to stomp out your enemies. It's only wrong when we decide to assert ourselves against their criminality. And this propaganda is widespread, and it's being put out there by people who are knowing agents and are working and knowing exactly what they're doing, or they're idiots, naive. It doesn't matter what they are. All that matters is that propaganda and that rhetoric at the end of the day will only lead us into destruction and into more slavery.
Yeah. Honestly, if people had been a little bit more violent at certain times in our past, a whole lot less death would have ensued.
Yes.
It's by our own complacency, by our own inaction, that horrendous amounts of death, are inflicted upon our people.
Yes, absolutely, man, and that's where we're at. And so we're hearing this being spread a lot, but you know, we expected these kind of things when we started talking about certain issues here, Kyle. You know, when you start talking, and it's becoming increasingly clear when you start addressing the multicultural issues, the diversity issues, you know, it sure seems like, you know, you can talk about Jewish corruption all day long, and they don't seem to mind that as long as you don't point out their specific tools in the program to destroy European culture and European heritage. Once you start pointing out their specific tools that they're used to destroy us, then they get pissed off and they start getting touchy and they start getting desperate. And they do not like us exposing the multicultural agenda. They hate that because that is their number one weapon they're using right now.
Yeah, we're definitely catching a lot of flack for our recent shows, our recent, I'd say, evolution. You know, over the past few years, we've definitely gained some fans and lost some people who we thought were our allies. And yeah. I think we're definitely heading in the right direction, and as the saying goes, if you're catching flack, you're over the target. And you know, now what they're doing to discredit us is very childish. They're calling us names like patriotard Nazis.
Now, who else would use Nazi to describe someone they want to discredit? What other group would engage in that kind of activity?
You got me. I don't know. They must be freedom fighters. That's what it is, right?
Yeah. Fighting freedom. Making sure that we don't have any. Exactly. And so, yeah, so here we falling into the same mold. They're Nazis! Oh, my God! They're Nazis! So this is just typical classic tactics. It's not even any good. And somebody posted the other day in one of the chats, I can't remember where it was at, that this is bottom tier type of attacks. These aren't even well thought out or even craftily put together. They're just a bottom tier low-level attacks. Childish, as you said before.
Right, and they're insinuating now that we're trying to collect donations to, go out and start stomping people's heads in. We're going to give out brown shirts if you send us enough money, and then we're gonna go beat up minorities. That's what they're trying to boil down national protectionism to. And what's really funny about this is if you listen to our broadcast, we almost never ask for donations. And I think the only person who even had a donate button up recently was myself, because I put out a lot of money towards getting this these sites running.
Right.
And I've got a number of websites that people use. I pay for them all the hosting and the Blog Talk Radio here. And I spend hours and hours of my time every night making sure that these things get produced. But you know what? I try not to need any donations, and I rarely ever ask for them. So the insinuations that they've been making are just patently false.
Yes, exactly. And someone in the chat room said, well, what is the solution then? Well, you can start just put out a manifesto, for Christ's sake. Nationalprotectionism.com. There you go.
Mike.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Ben Clausen?
No.
The creativity. Have you heard of this? Ben Clausen, you've probably seen this symbol around. He wrote Nature's Eternal Religion. It's one of his more famous books. And he was around. He wrote this, I think, in 1973. Pretty much on point. He and I don't see eye to eye on everything, let's say, and he's just coming at it from a different perspective. But I was reading through this book today and came upon a very pertinent section here, which talks exactly about what we're discussing right now. And if you don't mind, it's just a little bit, and I'd like to read it. As part of a larger chapter. Point four, quote, "There is nothing you can do about it," end quote. As the Jews push further and further with their various programs for our enslavement, such programs are as massive forced busing of our children, higher and more confiscatory taxes, and the mongrelization of our white race, etc., we find our people almost universally throwing up their hands and saying, "There is nothing you can do about it." This, of course, is another example of the Jews skillfully implanting in our minds the age-old military stratagem of, if you can get your enemy to think they are defeated before the battle even starts, then they are as good as defeated. This strategy is as old as the hills, but people are still falling for it. Despite all the laws and idiotic court decisions, there are many things that you, a white American citizen, can do. The first thing you can do is to take a positive, courageous attitude. The second thing you can do is to make up your mind that you are not going to be enslaved and that you are going to fight. And the fact is, the situation is far from hopeless. You have many resources available to you with which to wage the battle. After all, we, the white Americans, outnumber the Jews 30-1 and the niggers 7-1. Now, just remember that. Furthermore, we have available to us all those tools and means that the Jews, actually a small minority, have used in their favor for our enslavement. Pointing out, I'm quoting this guy directly. I don't think it's constructive, at least in this day and age, to just go on and on about niggers this and niggers that, but that's the way he talked, and that's fine. I'm just quoting him. "The number of things you can do are almost unlimited, and here are but a few suggestions. One, form a local protest committee or organization to promote and pursue those political ends that you think are desirable, and in opposition to those that you deem undesirable. Two, along the same lines, form a political party or a political organization to create a power or influence block. Three, run some good candidates for office, or better still, run for office yourself. Four, compile propaganda leaflets and literature and get a group to distribute them as widely as possible. Five, organize and promote massive resistance to such laws as forced busing of your school children. Six, write letters of protest to your congressmen and other elected officials. This is probably one of the weaker forms of action you can take. Seven, Write letters to the editors of your local newspapers and encourage others to do the same. 8. Form a telephone committee and organize local meetings of protest. 9. Give speeches in protest of those laws that are bad and in favor of such changes as you think should be made. 10. If everything else should fail, you still have the right to do the same things as our founding fathers did in 1776. If you are being enslaved under a tyrannical government using law and order as a guise, remember that your right to life, liberty, and property supersedes all other secondary laws, and you have a right to overthrow such tyranny by force if necessary. Historically, when tyrants have sought to enslave them, free men have resorted to force of arms in order to remain free.
Wow, yep, absolutely.
And that was 73. We have so many more tools today.
Absolutely we do. And the thing about this is that to not rise up to defend your own people and civilization, you want to talk about morality? To sit back and watch the attacks, the warfare that's been waged against us, not do anything and throw up your hands is immoral, because you are allowing more destruction to occur. And that's the most immoral thing you can do if you want to go from a moral perspective. Passivism has killed more people than being proactive and on the offensive. Being offensive has saved more lives than passivism has. This is a fallacy, and it's a Jewish tactic that has been used for generations against us. There's no doubt. And what you just read was great.
People are going to say our speech is offensive. Thank you.
Yes.
Offensive. Think about how that word has even been turned into such a bad word. Oh, that's just so offensive. And you did a great breakdown of this whole program that is going on. And that can be found over at nationalprotectionism.com. It's in the blog. A special report you did about engineered political apathy, and also the notion that the only time it's right for us to ever even hit back is after we've been punched, when we have the when we might not even be conscious anymore. That's the time when it's the only time that you can ever punch back.
Right.
It's idiotic. It's suicidal. And of course, this kind of goes into the Christian propaganda that a lot of people have. Turn the other cheek. Resist not evil. You know, your rewards can be found in the afterlife. You know, so be a decent slave here.
And that's what they used to teach slaves going back to time immemorial was don't worry about the fact that you're a slave here. Once you die, you'll go into some heavenly kingdom with gold paved streets and, pearly gates, and you'll get your reward there. Done to keep you down and to keep you loving how you've been kept in the realm. And that's another Jewish philosophy. You got turned cheek, be on the defensive, and don't worry, your reward lies in some afterlife. Don't worry about this life here. It's not important. Well, if it's not important, they certainly are concerned about controlling it here, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of people who are active right now, and I think we've got to keep on the offensive, because we have support. We have people who are now energized, who have seen through the other bullshit and are ready to actually do something. And what happens if this stalls is that people then become disillusioned. They might go back to thinking it's useless. But you know what? Even if somehow Renegade Broadcasting fails, goes down, listen, you guys out there, you could do something 5 times better. Hell, try to do it 10 times better. And you have to step up to the plate. You know, I'm hoping Mike and myself will be here for the entire ride. But hey, if we're not, you take it upon yourself to be a hero. And I think that's the way we move forward, is that everybody takes some responsibility themselves.
Yeah, and I think you just hit on something very important there, Kyle, and that is that one of the other main reasons that they do this apathy, they use this political apathy as a program and a weapon against us, is they know that not only will it be used to try to discredit anybody trying to put something new together and organize to stand up against the enemy, but also it demoralizes and keeps future people from entering into an active role in this movement by giving up early. And it keeps people out who might be good leaders, who might be some of the best people that we've ever seen in movement before. So this is important because it's not only designed to destroy the people out there, speaking out on shows and stuff and putting together an agenda, but it also affects those who might have been thinking to get involved, and they hear something like that, they get demoralized, and they say, I just quit, I stay at home.
Now, Mike, what do you think about those people out there who just aren't ready to make this kind of commitment, to take the risk of even sharing some of the work we do with people that they know for fear of being ostracized, for fear of losing their jobs? This happens. It's something that is very real, and it divides a lot of people, I think. But so what's your suggestion for people out there who feel that way? They're kind of on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know if this thing is going to succeed, so they don't want to risk losing it all for something that has snowballs chance in hell of succeeding.
I would say to those people, do not get involved then. That's what I would say.
All right.
I would say to the people that have made up their mind and who can't take it anymore, who are fed up with the multiculturalism, who feel that their life as a slave under this Jewish-controlled system is something they can't live with anymore, and they feel like they have nothing to lose, I say then you join the fight, join the cause. I think there's millions who have that attitude. And in the beginning stages, frankly, we don't need fence sitters. We need people who are committed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say. And then down the road, once the committed rise up and they become unified, then those that are straddling the fence will then eventually join down the road. That's what always happens when you look at history.
Yeah, I think a lot of the people might have families. They might be a little bit older. And so they don't want harm to come to their families, to themselves. They're worried about feeding their children. But the fact of the matter is, even if you're just trying to make ends meet, we're in a really tough situation right here. And if you can't see it, I'm just going to tell you, our backs are up against the wall. There's a firing squad that's coming in. And so I just say maybe some people argue it's not that dire, but things are really getting pretty bad, and we don't have much of a future unless we do something now.
I totally agree. And the reason that a lot of people don't see how dire it is right now is because the media does not report what's really happening there each and every day. They don't report the real crime rates. They don't report the real statistics. And they sanitize and hide the brutality that is taking place in the streets of this country right now. And so is this serious? And they're going to continue to sanitize, repress real news, especially of crimes against white people, right? They're going to sanitize that. They're not going to report on the South African genocide. They're not going to report on the rapes in the Scandinavian countries by the Islamic immigrants there. They're not going to report those stories because it runs contrary to their program. And I thought maybe later in the show, Kyle, we can get into down the road tonight the UN Charter. And this is where it comes from. The UN Charter actually guarantees and makes it a point that segregation or living separate will be considered illegal globally under the UN Charter, okay? And it also promotes under the UN Charter the idea of mixing people together. That is in there. And I have that charter to read from later in the show, and I think it's interesting. So this is, you talk about the new world order people. This is one of the most important aspects of the so-called new world order, if you want to call it that. Okay, Jewish control grid, whatever the hell you want to call it, doesn't bother me. But the bottom line is it needs to be addressed. And they're not going to report those stories because they don't want people to know what's really happening on the streets. Why? Because if it doesn't seem dire and urgent, then they won't join in the battle of standing up to protect their civilization.
Yeah. Well, Mike, the UN is completely antithetical to nationalism. That should go without saying. But they have all these agendas, and in the most powerful organizations of the UN, it's completely Jewish controlled. And the UN does seem to want to completely diminish the power of the United States and the American people so as to be able to kind of step in, fill the vacuums left in the wake of the United States' greatness. And some people argue the United States wasn't all that great. Well, it was certainly really powerful. And so were its people. And now they already are siphoning off our money. That's for sure. But they're trying to promote this idea that, you know what, you guys don't need a whole lot of wealth to be happy. You know, it's a good thing maybe that you'll get back to your roots and, you know, get into some kind of a guerrilla gardening program instead of actually trying to advance your culture, your race, your society. And mm-hmm. so I think that one thing that should be understood by people out there who are listening is that if we are successful here, and we will be, to quote up of George Herbert Walker's New World Order speech there,
mm-hmm.
and we will be, we will have a surplus of wealth. We will see an accumulation of wealth, something somewhat unprecedented in our history, because we will unleash the true power and creativity of our people. And it is not evil to have money. It's evil to have Jews controlling that money and using fractional reserve lending and usury. But wanting to amass a fortune, wanting to be successful at what you do, this is not evil. That's communist programming. It's Christian programming as well.
Yeah.
Mike, just wanted to, if you don't mind, read a little bit more from a different section of this Ben Clausen piece here.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does Christianity, with a great amount of success, beat down a man's desire for worldly goods and deprive him of as many of them as possible, but it also sets about to destroy his confidence in himself and undermine his feeling of worthiness. It keeps telling him again and again that he is no good, that he is born in sin, that he is a miserable sinner, that he should be humble and meek. It tells him that he should be tolerant and let himself be pushed around. It tells him to turn the other cheek and not resist evil. In doing so, it tears to shreds his self-confidence and plants within his consciousness a tremendous guilt complex that frustrates and destroys his ability and his confidence. No wonder the once proud Roman nation rapidly disintegrated when it embraced this poisonous and destructive new creation, which conditioned them into submissiveness. Just a quick aside, think about how they tell all of their parishioners, they tell, you know, the flock, the sheep, that they should give all of their worldly goods to the church, towards good. Now, you look at the way that some of these priests live and the higher-ups in the church, they don't practice what they preach. They amass great amounts of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Just moving on. We of the Church of the Creator, which was Ben's organization there, reject this miserable and vicious philosophy, this sick and morbid outlook on life, and propose just the opposite. We believe that it is healthy and constructive to have confidence in oneself, in his race, and in his future. We do not at all believe that it is a virtue to be tolerant when an outrage is being committed against one's family or nation or race. We do not at all go along with the philosophy of resist not evil, but believe strongly that evil should be resisted with superior force, and that an outrage should not be tolerated, but destroyed. We believe that when there is a threat to ourselves, to our family, or to our race, that we should fight, and that such a threat should be destroyed. Nature tells us instinctively that this is the correct reaction to a threat. We do not believe in tolerating any menace that threatens us. We are thoroughly convinced that this Jewish advice of being humble, meek, and submissive in the face of a clear and present danger to our existence is sheer lunacy, and we replace such a philosophy with confidence in ourselves, with an aggressive fighting spirit to attack, pursue, and destroy any danger that threatens us.
Absolutely. And again, that's a Jewish advice, as he said, that's the Jewish advice to everybody who's not part of the tribe, because don't believe in any of the meekness and weakness and turn the other cheek philosophies. That is for everybody else's consumption, not theirs. That's how they rule over us.
Yeah, think about
plain
it.
And simple.
Get a couple of homemade rockets coming into Israel, and then they respond, not, you know, turn the other cheek. They send back missiles. They level whole villages. They kill women and children. It's obviously not their approach, but one that they feed upon feed to everyone else, so that they can feed upon everyone else.
Yep, absolutely, man. And they and that's how they operate. And so, and that's another thing. They have convinced European people through this programming, as you just mentioned, to not get involved in business, to not get involved in the community, to stay away from the institutions. Well, of course, you know, rather than fighting us and kicking us out and going into a physical confrontation with us, they just convinced us not to join any organizations, not to participate in politics, not to join the debate, so they could just rule out rule the whole field without any of our participation. What an easy – that's – you know, brilliant. Just brainwash us so we drop out ourselves. That's how pathetic this is.
Yeah, it really is. And, of course, they knew this wouldn't work for everybody, so then they create the different camps for them to fall into once they start to rebel against the system. And they've controlled the different rebellions for a long time. They're the ones who fuel their opposition for a great majority of the cases, but this in no way means that we should give up and say, oh, you know what, it's probably just the Jews behind that group as well. I agree with what they're saying and all that, but you know what, it's going to be infiltrated. That's a defeatist, pathetic, apathetic way of living.
Yep.
It disgusts me. It disgusts me. People who won't say something, even though they know it to be right, true, and correct, and necessary. They don't care that there is reason and evidence behind what we're saying. They just think that it's not nice. That it's dangerous talk. Well, you know what? It is dangerous talk. We're here to start some fires in the hearts and minds of people.
Absolutely, man. I couldn't have said it any better. And that's the whole point, is that, of course, this is dangerous. Standing up against the enemy is always dangerous. We're in a culture war here. And the first shots have been fired a long, long time ago. And that's why I said earlier, those that are committed, that can no longer live this type of way, who are committed to the fight, then get involved. If you have any doubts in your mind and you don't feel like you can do it, then don't. It's that simple. But we need the committed to join together at this point. Unite, and let's start doing some positive things. Let's start moving in a positive direction. You know, instead of getting a petition signed to get Piers Morgan deported, like Alex Jones did, we have a petition at National Protectionism to get rid of dual citizens. Now, do we think that's going to get rid of dual citizens? No, but it's a show of force to the powers that be, that there are people out there talking this way, that agree this way. And believe me, they don't like to see those numbers when they're thrown in a direction that threatens their power down the road.
And you know what? Those numbers over at nationalprotectionism.com, they're not all that big yet. But here's the thing. There are so many other people out there who agree with our sentiment. And once they are shown a clear-cut message that says, this is not acceptable, will not be tolerated, they'll say, hell yeah, why did we ever accept that in the first place? Most people didn't even know about it. Most people didn't even know about the dual citizens, and still don't. What reasonable American would think that it's A-okay to have dual citizens running our government, especially ones from Israel, who, you know what, I don't honestly trust non-dual citizen Jews as well, because you know what, they are dual citizens. They also pretty much even if they're not technically a citizen of Israel, they are pretty much beholden to and working for Zionist interests or world Jewry in general. So I think that the going against the dual citizens right now makes a great statement, and that's what we got to push forward with. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Right out the bat, I don't trust any of those Jews at Washington either, or in any of the state levels. They've gotten themselves in at every level, all the way down to the school committees.
Yeah, and that's the fallacy to tell you the truth, in a way, there's another Jew tactic that's been used a lot in the right. The whole idea of decentralization. Well, you know what? Decentralization in a lot of ways makes it even more dangerous, because rather than having one centralized power group to deal with, now you got 50 potential bureaucracies in 50 different states to deal with. Don't think they haven't figured that out as well, okay?
Interesting point. All right, Zapopper's bringing up a question that somebody who I banned for talking trash on us in other chat rooms when he didn't think I was watching. He asked if the dual citizen one was actually realistic in a Jewish-dominated America, and who would enforce this rule? He's saying it's a legitimate question. Is it really a Jewish-dominated America? What's their percentage of the American population? Yes, they control a lot of the money, most of it. They are the 1%, though the 99% at Occupy Wall Street is not going to be telling you that. They are that 1% with a whole lot of wealth and, yes, political influence. But they are not the end-all, be-all of power in America. They very quickly could be run into the Atlantic Ocean and swimming to Tel Aviv, as Dr. Pierce has said before in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It takes just a small percentage of Americans to start getting it, and we can really push this issue and push them the fuck out of our country.
Yeah, and just to answer that as well, that question as well is, well, first of all, you know, when you start moving in a direction like this, you have to start out with initiatives and educating people while you're actually doing something proactive at the same time. This is an example of that. This is a statement to begin with here, okay? Because when was the last time you've heard of a statement delivered, you know, to the system that we have all these people that know about the Jewish infiltration of the system and the government, and we have a petition dealing with one of the aspects as far as that goes. So this, you know, is a movement of sentiment, okay, from us saying we know who controls the system, and this is what we would like to accomplish down the road, okay? It's very important. But we have to start out at a base. We have to start out with an agenda to begin with, okay? And that's what that is. And I think it's important, because you have to build the perception, number one. You have to get people to rally around something that would benefit us in the long run in bringing our system back under our control. And that is a step in the right direction for that statement to be made.
Yeah. And furthering the answer to that question, I'd like to say that though we don't have a vast amount of people who say listen to our broadcast, it's still more than almost any college professor at a large university. And they are having a big effect upon the minds of the young, the future leaders. And that's exactly what we're doing here. And we will start to see the results of our dedication. And a lot of the people who listen to our shows themselves have shows and blogs, and we inspire them and perhaps get them to think a little bit differently. And this just starts spreading things like wildfire. And what is great about what we're doing here is that we have people everywhere. They're all over.
Yeah.
All different countries, all different states. We are well distributed. And at some point, let's get some of these people together regionally and show some of this this force. And I think that in almost no time, we'll be seeing the tide changing rather rapidly. And some people will be pushed out to sea, of course, as I've been insinuating.
Yeah. And look, the bottom line is this, is that they have counted. Their number one weapon was keeping the people unaware by suppressing news stories of what's really happening in the country. And they've been able to do this through the television. But you know what? You know, this new media has not been here that long. I mean, really, the last decade in its form that it's in now, okay? And really, if you want to be technical, really only the last 5 years has it been really as strong as it is now, and as well put together with the sites and the speed and everything to make it a viable alternative to the television, okay? But it's here. And yeah, there's a lot of crap on the computer and on the internet, but there's a lot of good stuff too. And they do not like that, trust me. And just think about this for a second. What we are doing right now, people coming in the chat room right now having a site like this where we all can get together and talk about issues, this is a big deal. And because we're so, you know, used to doing it now, it doesn't seem like a revolutionary thing, but it really is. And this is a game changer in the long run, trust me. They do not like freedom of information like it exists in this form right now, okay? And it is bothering them. All you need to do is look at that link you sent me with the Chris Matthews and Mark Potok and the other Jew from some other hate group watching network on Hardball, complaining about all of the anti-government groups and so forth on the rise. They know nationalism is rising, and they look at Europe, and they look at Greece, they look at Scandinavia, and they say, holy shit, this is going to happen here. They know it is. It's only a matter of time. And so that's why they're already beginning to panic, already trying to deal with that now.
You know, Mike, you mentioned the hate, the guys who watch the hate groups out there, and that's what we're labeled as by these guys. We're haters. Now, they had this this big no hate campaign, no H out of Hollywood primarily, and it was all about gay rights and all the one of these big distraction issues to get all these liberals on their side as they wage war after war of aggression and loot our wealth and flood our country with immigrants, and they get all these stupid liberals. Oh, this is the most progressive government because we've got all these gays in the military now, and we've got gays getting married, and that's now to be the measure of a country's worth is how they treat homosexuals. It's just all a huge distraction issue. But they had this no hate campaign with they'd put duct tape over their mouths and write no hate on their faces, and they do it with their children too, who sometimes look like they were crying out or in pain. And, you know, they've got duct tape over their mouths. This is pretty much telling you exactly what's going on. You're not allowed to speak about this. Just even speaking is considered hate. I don't know why they duct tape their own mouths. Maybe because they don't have any good rebuttals, so they just call any information coming out against them hate. And this idea of hate has really been misconstrued. And we've been hitting upon this. You did it in your last special report. That's up over at National Protectionism. Hate is very powerful, and they know that. And that's why they don't want us to ever hate. We need to use our hate, channel it, as you said, perfect it. Once we are able to perfect our hate, things will be changing very rapidly. And they already have been. People are scared because we are using this energy against them.
Absolutely. And that's why they've done such a great job, Kyle, of the anger management classes and the no bullying in schools. But you know what's amazing about that is usually what this means is that they train white people how not to be bullies and how not to hate everybody else so they can get beat up and killed in the schools throughout this country. Because you see, this program is only meant for the Europeans to lay down their resistance.
Okay? Exactly.
This is all this is for. These campaigns are for white people to follow, not the proxies that are under the Jewish control who have been consumed with hate programmed in them by the enemy to bring us down.
And these stupid white homosexuals or just multicultural idiots, whatever they are, they don't know what is coming for them, what they have helped to usher in. They will not be protected by the groups that have been funded with our money that are rising up against us.
Absolutely. And look, All they need to do is look at South Africa as an example. Some of the first people killed in the white genocide there were those white people who had a little bit of means, who were active in the community, who actually tried to work with the black people there to make things so everybody could work together, who actually gave them more pay, who were very liberal. Those people were actually, a lot of them, killed first in the first waves of the over 68,000 there that have been genocided, to send a message to the rest of them. This is what we do to those who were cooperating with us. Imagine what we are going to do to you.
Yeah, David's making a good point, too, about the gays that were eliminated in communist takeovers around the world.
Mm-hmm.
It, time and again, and yet they still support these communist rising to power because they are promised all this equality, all of these rights. And you know what? It's not usually the homosexual gay Jews. Yeah, the gay Jews at the top who are the ones being persecuted, but the foot soldiers that were, say, professors at the universities who might be a threat after the real communism takes hold, and it's not what they thought it would be.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought we were all just going to, get together and love one another. You know, smile on your brother, man.
Yeah, and that philosophy and that banner – the banner of communism has killed more people globally than any other governmental system in the history of mankind.
Yeah.
As a fact.
Oh, yeah. Just if people just look at Mao Zedong, what he did. Look at Stalin, what he did. The mass murder that took place under those two regimes in general. What Hitler did, even using their bogus numbers, doesn't compare to the atrocities of these communists, and yet you still have people within the American government saying that they look to Mao as a person who's giving words of wisdom. A number of people within the Obama administration have praised Mao Zedong. He killed between somewhere 40 to 60 million, of his own people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And this is what we are facing in the United States unless we actually do something about it. People talk all about FEMA camps and all this, you know, to try to elicit fear of Nazis and whatnot. The people who would actually go out and murder millions and millions of Americans are not Nazis. This would be the communist regime that sees especially white people as to them. And I really don't want to see this happen, so I think we should just take back our power here in this land, and hopefully other people around the world also, and we will rise again, as we are doing. We are rising.
Absolutely, we are rising, and it's happening right now, and that's what's got them worried. That's why Potok is out there in high gear, putting out what he can put out. They're concerned. They're going to the Obama administration to say that we're terrorists and even contemplating drone strikes. This is what desperate people do when they know the clock is ticking against them. And look, they know that they're in control right now, and that the people aren't rising up like they are in Greece here. But they know that that is going to happen. And what's different about the rising up that will occur here? What's different about that is that there are more weapons in this country than anywhere else in the world, okay? And it's no and that's the main reason why they're moving on the gun control at the same time they're pushing the multicultural agenda, the anti-hate agenda, and the political correctness. The gun control is a very intricate part of that because they don't want us to be able to defend ourselves against the proxies they send in here to kill us. Plain and simple.
And, Mike, it's not only that we have the most guns out of any other country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We have them. We have the people who know how to use them the best.
Yes, absolutely. And it scares the living hell out of them. And let me just give you an example real quick. Alan Dershowitz, in 2001, at a speech at a Jewish community center, this is Harvard professor Alan Dershowitz. This is what he had to say to show you where they're headed. quote, "I support abolishing self-defense. No one has the right to take responsibility for their own defense. That's what the police are for. Everyone who is arming themselves for self-defense are wrong. Quote, I am in favor of broad controls on guns. If I oppose individuals defending themselves, I have to support police defending them. I have to support a police state," end of quote. Alan Dershowitz, in a speech in 2001 to a Jewish community center, so there you go, okay? There you go. They don't believe in self-defense even. This is the level that we are talking about here of the Jewish mindset and the powers against us.
Yeah, good luck calling the police after your head's been bashed in, after you're dead, after your family's dead. It doesn't work like that. You are the front line. You are the person who is responsible for your defense, no matter what any of these Jewish politicians and their laws have to say about it. It doesn't matter if you end up behind bars. At least you saved your family at that point yourself. Just, you got to do what you got to do to survive. These are the laws of nature. And it's ridiculous that they're trying to make it so that we don't even have the right, we don't have the right, the privilege to defend ourselves. It's disgusting. And you were spot on before in one of your shows when you said that the whole Trayvon Martin bullshit was intended to get stand your ground, basically as something that is no longer acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So when an intruder, I really don't give a damn what his name was, whether he was a half-Jew, Hispanic, whatever. It doesn't matter to me what the individual was. The propaganda and the attack was on stand your ground. That was the whole point. And they used that to defame the stand your ground laws, as we said, Kyle. That's the bottom line, because what we're saying is even if you have thugs running up to you to attack you and kill you, if you use a gun to defend yourself, then you will be thrown in prison. Okay, and that's the end of it. Just like Alan Dershowitz just said, you see there the mindset in 2001, you can have no self-defense either. Not only can you not have a gun, you're not allowed to defend yourself. So the concept of self-defense is a crime now, according to these Jews. This is where we're at.
I just want to get rid of them. It's sickening. I love being part of as much as an individual as I am, and I am one, I love being part of a team effort. I enjoyed sports. I liked being a captain. I liked playing fullback, knocking some heads around. And you know what? I want to help my country, to help my people. But the avenues that have been set up to do so have been so thoroughly corrupted and depraved. They're just sickening to me, that I would never go anywhere near them. So, of course, I've got to be a renegade, and I've got to try to find other methods to be a nationalist, to be a patriot. And it's so frustrating when our government has been turned against us, and you know, being patriotic means supporting Jews and in living the high life. In Washington, D.C., it seems. That's what they've turned it to mean, which is absolutely erroneous.
Yeah, it really is. And it is time for this to come to an end, and we can bring it to an end. You know what? If even just the people – and this is – a lot of people laugh when I say this, but if just the people right now who support the GOP – think about this. If just the people right now who support the GOP, if the grassroots foundational support of that ridiculous party, that Jewish-controlled party, the average person, particularly in the South and Midwest, started joining and hooking up with a nationalist cause, they would be crapping in their pants right now, man.
Well, Mike, that's yeah. Why they're really trying to move the GOP over to something of a nationalist type of message, as we discussed on the last special report we did a week ago. They're trying to put their people at the head of it. They know that white people are fed up. And I think what they're doing over there is just trying to make it so that the GOP is no longer going to be any kind of threat. It's going to become a fringe group. It's going to be all those disenfranchised crackers on the right.
Yeah.
And the immigrants with and blacks and other minority groups are going to just have a field day with all their Democrats. And you look at what went on in Philly recently. Overwhelmingly, has become a black city, and a very dangerous one too. This person wrote an article about being white in Philly, which caused a whole uproar. And the mayor of Philadelphia was saying that it's going to be probed, it's going to be investigated. How dare they? And what the author was actually trying to do was to bring some attention to what's really going on in Philadelphia, how the white people see it, and how the white people interact with themselves, and how they interact with their black neighbors, who, you know, they're somewhat isolated, the white community and the black community. He was suggesting that, you know what, maybe the conversation should be moved towards actually trying to build some roads between the communities. And the mayor, I guess, absolutely hated this idea. And it's because they were portraying blacks in a negative light. As you had brought up earlier in our conversation tonight, it's actually the people who are really trying to make some sort of change for the better for all people, or to have some kind of outreach, that usually do get railroaded. You know, they'd rather, I think, not have people who are living next to each other have an honest and open conversation with each other, because then it takes out the political middlemen.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And they're definitely terrified of that. Terrified of it.
And you know what? I think a lot of people actually would just prefer to be with their own people. I don't see why many black people shouldn't support white nationalism.
Yes.
You take care of your people, you live with them, and then we'll take care of our own.
Absolutely.
That's a problem. And I think that the black leaders, instead of getting all riled up about how they're going to, you know, kill whitey, why don't you start to take care of your own communities, police them, restore some order to these drug-ridden, violent hellholes. Let's get some improvement going on at all levels. And I know that there is an economic situation that, you know, is causing a good deal of this, but you know, that doesn't excuse it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? That's what – I hate to keep going back at this, but that's what one of the first things the Golden Dawn Party did in Greece. They began creating their own community policing, sponsored by the Golden Dawn Party, to start cleaning up their neighborhoods and to protect their women and to get the drugs off the streets, to protect the people of their communities there from the wave of immigration that was coming in. That's one of the first things they did over there. And it can be done here. And one of the criticisms I've heard – lately is that, you know, oh, what next? Are we going to start promoting uniforms and armbands? Well, you know what?
Maybe that's not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea. I would love to see us start creating our own police force in our neighborhoods and taking our streets back and wearing some type of affiliation on our shirt saying, hell yeah, we're pissed off and we're taking our streets back. What the hell is wrong with that idea? Jesus.
Look damn good while we're doing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you need good PR, and that's why they've always showed on the History Channel or the Discovery or whatever, when they're going to cover, you know, these hate groups in the United States, it's going to be some tattooed KKK members or Aryan Nation guys, and they can barely put a sentence together. We have to have, I think, a very good-looking image. We, you know, I'm not saying we need to be completely polished and everything. Just listen to the intro of Renegade, which, you know, maybe I'll get around to changing at some point. But we are not necessarily the the most how would you put this? We're not the guys who are going to be wearing suits and ties too often, I don't think. So we're not those guys. We're a little bit rougher around the edges.
Yeah, we're working people. We're blue collar types who like to, you know that's who I am anyway. I mean, I don't like wearing a suit and tie, but I will if I have to. If that's what it takes to reach more people, why not? I'm not opposed to that.
My Skype picture for people out there listening who don't know me on Skype is actually of me in a suit tie. I was at a wedding, though, and it's, again, for public image. Mike, somebody in the chat saying that we're breaking up a little bit here
okay.
in terms of the audio. Let's maybe go to some song and maybe reconnect, see if we can get things back sounding better.
Sure.
You have any suggestions for audio, Mike?
You know, I like that song that we played at the beginning, that you played the last special report we did, the first song. I thought that was great.
A lot of people have been critical of the songs that we choose to put in. You know, why do you have to ruin the message with those songs? This one is from a group known as the Bully Boys, and it's called White Kids Gonna Fight. And we'll be right back in a few minutes. It's not playing for me. I clicked it a while ago. You hearing anything?
No.
What is this? 15 seconds right now, and Blog Talk Radio still hasn't played the song. All right, well, maybe it'll kick in. There you go.
As far as actually doing something. I think it's time that we start seriously talking about how to start creating our own neighborhood and community watch programs affiliated to this nationalist movement. That is one of the first things, that's one of the main things that I'm really looking into right now. I think that is the most important first step we could take. To show that there is unity, a unified cause, that we are doing something on the street level, and we need to start a networking of people that can communicate, somewhere to go for all of us to communicate, and start having feedback on how we're doing that in each of our own communities. Begin the process of having meetup groups to talk about police actions, not armed confrontations, but simply showing that we are there and we are present in this country.
Well, speaking about feedback on communication, I'm hearing you just perfectly here, getting the whole message, but it seems like the chat room said that you're breaking up a little bit. This is really annoying.
Yes.
I think we should push on with David's suggestion, just perhaps talking a little bit slower, which is hard when you're kind of fired up sometimes and you want to get a lot of work in. But maybe I'll just make it a little bit easier to understand. I'm really annoyed when I listen to myself sometimes in the archives and just words are missing. They just get completely deleted in the recording and Blog Talk Radio. It gets a decent chunk of change every month. It's kind of ridiculous.
Well, let me just repeat that a little slower. Let me talk like this. let me talk like Jeff Rentz.
I think they heard you, but maybe when you reiterate it, you could tie in how the propaganda is used against us even considering doing something because of all of the media they put out there about how white people are so evil. About how blacks are always just so oppressed and saintly, and how that's actually pretty far from the reality of the situation. If you check out the video I did, which I think everybody should do and should get angry over at nationalprotectism.com, the reality of racial violence, it gets me so mad when I see how much they've lied to us and how. It is really the truth is really being heard from so many people's eyes, and it's horrendous.
Yeah, and there's actually a good idea in the chat there by Demon Wolf, and that is include a crime report to drive home the violence propagated against our people. I like that idea as well. Absolutely, our own crime reports and beginning our own police network, that is one of the main things that I think we should focus on immediately. Absolutely. And as far as what you were saying, addressing that again, yeah, I mean, if these people that are saying out there who are saying, we can't do anything because of infiltration, then all this is just a waste of time. Why do anything? Move back to gardening. So we have to do this. We absolutely have to start. And let me reiterate, this is one of the first steps the Golden Dawn did in Greece. They began with policing their own communities, okay, before even the political action. They built up an army on the ground. It has to be done. And I think that will then, once people start seeing a presence in their community of people who are dedicated to protecting our people, then I think more people, that will encourage even more people to get involved. Can you imagine? Because nobody has faith in law enforcement anymore. The law enforcement are completely controlled by the ADL and the Jewish lobby, okay, the SPLC, particularly in the South. And we have no choice. We have to create an independent force on the ground level to protect our own communities at this point.
Well, and you know that the attacks will only increase, and they'll compare groups like this to the KKK and, of course, all these other hate groups, which I think everything that they've labeled us as, we should start to embrace a bit and just to consider why it is that they've used certain terms like racist, bigot, anti-Semite, hater, Nazi. Why do they call us these things? And perhaps all of them are not so bad after all. You know, to actually be discriminating, that's a good thing. If you're looking at information, you need to be discriminating. But discrimination is a terrible thing, right? Just the same as how offense is offensive.
Yes, and this is a good example of an offensive measure, because you know the key here is that people see a presence of people in their community that are moving to get rid of crime. Crime is a serious problem. Where I live here in Georgia, it is a very serious problem. But I will tell you this: if more communities here actually organized a policing of their community and had a presence on the ground with numbers in the community. And I think I'll tell you what, this would be a very popular where I live, particularly in a lot of the white neighborhoods. This would be a no-brainer. This is a no-brainer, just like the dual citizen thing. This is low-hanging fruit we're talking about here. This is something that would not be hard to do, and it would actually attract your average paleo-conservative gun owner who is sick of this. It would attract those people easily. It's a no-brainer.
Mike, Renegade Listener has a great idea in the chat. Mm-hmm. And this is that we have to be perhaps even tougher on people of our own race that victimize others, that steal, that rape,
mm-hmm.
and really have zero tolerance for that, because that is one of the reasons the police has been discredited in many places, is because they're not seen as being hard enough on their own people or giving certain favors to certain other groups. And I think that if you have even more strict justice for your own people than people of other groups, then that sets a really good example, sets a good precedent.
Yeah, and I think that William Pierce made a point in his final speech, which he made in Atlanta, Georgia, by the way, okay, where he said that we have to be upstanding people in our community. We can't be drunkards and ignorant. We need to be respectable. We need to be well-spoken. We need to be able to speak to people in a calm, rational manner, on an intelligence level, and be able to put our ideas forth so that it attracts other people and they don't. And we don't appear to be a bunch of imbeciles running around drunk with all kinds of tattoos and looking like thugs, looking like the very people we're trying to keep out of the neighborhoods we're trying to protect. This is very important. We have to be professional in this undertaking. We can't be loose and clownish at all. And Pierce made a great point in his final speech. Check that out on YouTube, William Pierce's final speech in Atlanta, Georgia. I thought it was very, very important.
Another thing that he has mentioned along with some others is basically the loathing that they have for what they term as race traitors. Those that just welcome all these other immigrants with open arms into their communities and think that the white person is the biggest evil personified on the planet. These people, you know what, the other races, they don't really like you all that much. And real true nationalists, well, they hate you even though you've got the same skin as them. So the hate does not be just kept to non-white people.
Hmm?
And I'm not saying you need to hate every non-white person. I'm saying that hate needs to be channeled and focused towards groups that are openly attacking you and your kind. That is that's obvious to me, and that we should include in that people who are of the same ethnicity as us.
Absolutely, and you know, and this goes back to one of their main propaganda tools they've used against the Jews in the media. Keep using the term white supremacist, white supremacy, okay, which is their creation, okay? We're not talking about supremacy. That is a Jew philosophy. We're talking about pride. We're talking about separating to some extent, okay? Not being mean and degrading to people. Okay? That is what they have labeled us with. That is their talking points. And we need to make this clear. You know, there are very few supremacists out there. Are there nationalists? Yes. What's wrong with being a white nationalist? The media promotes black nationalism. The media promotes La Raza, Hispanic, Latino nationalism. They promote Jewish nationalism. And we need to stop running from some of these beliefs they've ingrained to be evil. We need to stand up and say, you know what? Yeah, maybe we are white nationalists. What's wrong with that?
Yeah. And you know what? Those white nationalists, the white supremacists over there in Germany in 1936 at the Olympics, who were cheering on Jesse Owens as he won in at least a few races at the Olympics, they were embracing this person. Did they want him as a citizen of the country? No, but they respected the person. And you know what? He got a whole lot more respect over there than he got in the United States at that time. So it's always such a sham. And these people try to make it out like white nationalists hate on other racial groups. It is actually the Jewish power structure that hates them with a passion, yet uses them to further their agendas. You just look at how black Jews are treated in Israel, and you'll see exactly what I mean. I think they sterilize them and kick them right out of the country. I'm not sure about the sterilization part. That could just be hearsay, but they have a zero tolerance policy for darker Jews in their country. That is for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they are the most talk about racist or supremacist. Supremacists are the Jews in the media structure and the system we live in today. They are the supremacists, and they are the ones doing all the things. And like David in the chat room said, they accuse everybody else of the crimes that they perpetrate, plain and simple. They like to project.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Mike, now I wanted to get to your the piece you have on the UN there.
Mm-hmm.
And also, maybe if you have some time after that, invite the listeners out there to call in,
yeah,
chime in with some ideas. Hey, confront us if you're listening and you think what we're saying is wrong, is the bad way to go about things. Let's hear your solutions and why you don't think that this is a road towards success. So I'll just give out the call-in numbers. 347-633-9657, or you can hit Skype to talk on the Blog Talk Radio show page. Mike, what do you have there? And also, if you want to wrap up anything, obviously, we've been talking about thus far.
Yeah, this is on the UN Charter here, and I think it's very interesting. And listen to this carefully, everybody listening. And let me start out here. It says, taking into account the other resolutions adopted by the General Assembly and the international instruments adopted by the specialized agencies, in particular the International Labor Organization and the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization in the field of discrimination, taking into account the fact that although international action and efforts in a number of countries have made it possible to achieve progress in that field, discrimination based on race, color, or ethnic origin in certain areas of the world continues nonetheless to give cause for serious concern. Alarmed by the manifestations of racial discrimination still in evidence in some areas of the world, some of which are imposed by certain governments by means of legislative, administrative, or other measures in the form, inter alia, of apartheid, segregation, and separation, as well as by the promotion and dissemination of doctrines of racial superiority and expansionism in certain areas, convinced that all forms of discrimination and still more so governmental policies based on the prejudice of racial superiority or on racial hatred, besides constituting a violation of fundamental human rights, tend to jeopardize friendly relations among peoples, cooperation between nations, international peace, and international security. Convinced further that the building of a world society free from all forms of segregation and discrimination, factors which create hatred and division among men, is one of the fundamental objectives of the United Nations, solemnly affirms the necessity of speedily eliminating this throughout the world in all its forms and manifestations. Okay. So here we see in the UN Charter, one of their main goals is to destroy any type of separation. Okay?
Now, do you think that the plan is to eventually have this happen in Israel as well, or just somehow pretend like Israel doesn't apply to any other the standards of anyone else?
It will continue. The Israel will not. It does not apply to Israel. It applies to everywhere else except Israel. And most of all, let's be honest here. This applies directly to Europe and North America because we know that the United Nations was founded by Jews and former Bolshevik communists in San Francisco in 1953, where they put this charter together, okay? Russian communists, including Alger Hiss, put together this charter, okay? Also helped along by the American Communist Party, working in conjunction with Jewish Bolsheviks from the Soviet Union. And they met in San Francisco, of all places, may I remind everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it was developed, in San Francisco. Okay, and then from San Francisco, they actually instituted it in New York. Okay, so this is very important. So we know what the Bolsheviks did in Russia after the revolution, and the UN is merely an extension of that Jewish Bolshevism. That's all it is. So this charter is coming directly from the same mindset that mass murder and committed genocide in Russia. Okay, and that's why the UN emblem is almost exactly the same as the emblem of the Soviet Union when you look at it, former Soviet Union.
Yeah, it's rather incredible. And Mike, I don't know if you've ever seen the flag of Chicago.
Never have.
It has 3 6-pointed stars, not exactly like the Star of David, 3 6-pointed stars in between 2 blue bars on a white flag. Do you know that? Yeah, it looks exactly like the flag of Israel.
Wow.
People
Chicago
should look that up. Yep, Chicago's a flag, and it looks just like Israel's. It's they really tell you what they're doing, but it's just it's incredible to me that they've been able to fool so many people while being the ones to commit all of the atrocities and then just blame them on other people, and then just completely ignore the masses of dead bodies that have led to their taking control of power, at least in the 20th century.
Yeah, and the reason that Israel will not be included, Kyle, this should sum it up. David Ben-Gurion, who was one of the most powerful people who helped, who was involved in the UN, in a Time magazine article in August 16th, 1948, he actually said this, quote, "The United Nations is the Jewish ideal," end of quote. So there you go.
Yeah.
It's admitted by them. So, of course, none of these laws apply to Israel. None of them. They are exempt because, remember, the ultimate people who want to separate from the rest of the Goy plantation are these people. It's okay for them to stay separate. It's okay for them not to mix. But everybody else will be forced to. Make no mistake about it.
Just a minor correction. Arminius posted in the chat, the flag actually has 4 stars, 6-pointed stars on it there in the flag of Chicago. Yeah, it's amazing how much Israel's been given a free pass on everything. You remember probably better than I do back, this is pretty much before my time, but Vanunu, they are trying to expose the nuclear weapons of Israel, and it's kind of, well, we're going to look the other way. We're going to care about every other country on the planet that might not even have signed the Israel certainly didn't sign the nuclear proliferation treaty, and yet has 300 plus nuclear weapons, and has openly said that they're willing to use them against all of the cities of Europe and the United States if they go down.
Mm-hmm.
They've used it as a threat. That's like Dr. Strangelove, right? It's not actually a captured Nazi who's got the plans for global annihilation. It's Israel there. It's the Jews.
And let us never forget, they've already declared war. They've already attacked us directly, USS Liberty, 1967. They've already sunk one of our intelligence vessels already. They've already attacked our military.
Yes. And you, the military, a lot of people within it, they know about this or have at least become somewhat aware. A lot of these people are the ones who start to understand that their ideas about their country don't exactly line up after they go and they're the boots on the ground. And that's why they're trying to disarm the vets as well. And that's why we have a number of veterans who are interested in what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the main reasons why they don't want to bring a lot of our troops home. They want to keep them over there, all spread out throughout the world, because they know that a large portion of them probably would join up to the nationalist cause, just as they have done in Greece with the Golden Dawn, with the defections from military and police in mass to that organization, and in the Ukraine taking place right now, also in Russia now, if you look at it, it's out there. This has been the how it's worked, and so it should be no different here, and that's one of the main reasons why they're trying to put more, while they're offering illegal aliens positions in the military now. That's one of the main reasons, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And if they were to actually try to declare martial law, those people who don't actually speak our language very well would be much more willing to take up arms against us and answer, what is it, yes on question 46, whereas people who come from this land do not want to turn their guns on their countrymen. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is something that they realize as well, and are very much worried about, though they control the top levels of the military. And that's I somewhat question that. I think that there are some high-level factions of military in this country, in the United States, or at least somehow affiliated with it, that are just absolutely sick and tired of what's going on. I'm not talking about a conspiracy, let's say, but let's say a change of heart, a change mm-hmm. of mind.
And let's not forget, one of the main things that this alternative media has done in their history revisionism is to demonize the secret planning for the coup of the Roosevelt administration, remember?
Oh, it was the best idea ever. Would have been – that would have saved our country so a lot of lives, uh-huh. a lot of money, and a lot of tears.
It would have kept Europe from being Bolshevized.
Yes.
Because that would have not been possible if we would have stayed out of the conflict. And that's why that was so dangerous. And so we see again in this alternative media propping up Smedley Butler as the hero that stopped the and protected the Roosevelt administration. That's the hero of this movement. You know, we would have been a lot better off, as you just said, if things would have went differently.
I wonder if people out there who talk about patriotard Nazis and promote pacifism, whether they think that the millions of women who were raped in Germany, after some of them to death, some of them I don't even want to talk about it, but if they think that they shouldn't, those men in Germany shouldn't have fought back the invading Bolshevik hordes, when there are women in this country, men too, who are being killed, raped, disfigured, dismembered, when this is happening on a daily basis, very high levels, and then you have Jamie Foxx on the television talking about how great it is to kill white people, and seeing the actual responses by people on Twitter, that they just think this is the greatest thing ever. Killing white people is a great thing. And then you expect us not want to do something about it, to change this, to actually not want our women and children and grandmothers or whoever to be ravaged by scoundrels, by scum who have been given weapons, money, and motivation by dirty communist Jewish interests.
Yep. Absolutely. And their argument would be, because I've seen their argument, I've heard their arguments, well, all sides have engaged in these atrocities. All people have engaged
that
in these kind of atrocities. And that, exactly.
And you look at what the anti-war left did to the soldiers when they came home, because probably of some false reports, some of them, they were attacking them, calling these guys baby killers.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly when what went on over there, but I do know that a Jewish company named Monsanto sprayed our own people with Agent Orange. And that's just something that should show these people who are, let's say, in the military serving these Jewish Zionist interests overseas, that they don't care about you. As Kissinger said, they're just the goyim, right? They're just the dumb, useless pawns in the game of chess to be moved around. I forget the exact quote.
Yeah, and I'll also say this, Kyle, that in the times in which we live now, in a volunteer force, okay, with all the information and all the history that we have about how tyrannical our government is and our system is, let me just say this. Any atrocities that have been done in the wars related to the war on terror after 9/11 and so on and so forth by people who have voluntarily joined the military, they are not, in my opinion, this might piss a lot of people off, I really don't care. They are not representative of our people as a whole in this country, because most of the people that know what's up would have never joined the military in the first place. So the type of mindset at this point in history right now that would join the military right now, knowing all that we know, you have to seriously question what their motivations are and is the military attracting just a psychotic mind who wants to kill and commit atrocities at this point. I'm dead serious when I say that. So
think about the programming that is out there from such a young age in terms of the video games. You know, all these ones that are openly paid for by the U.S. military. They're getting people not to be inspired to be warriors, actually training them. They're getting them to be mindless killers, mindless soldiers, soldiers, not warriors. And it's a damn shame, especially when you consider the economic, incentives that are given to these youths who are coming up in a system where they don't see any opportunity. That's why they don't need to institute a draft.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they can go and pick up Mexicans or whoever that are willing to do it for citizenship and a paycheck.
Yeah.
It's sickening. And you know what? Because the U.S. soldiers do still have, although this has somewhat changed, I guess, in their training, but some of them do still have some morals, then they just go hire foreign mercenary forces like Xi or whoever they're calling themselves now to now go in and fight the Golden Dawn in Greece.
Yep. And so now they're bringing – and this was their whole plan in the first place. Now they've created their own private army to protect the Jewish puppet regimes globally anytime there's an outbreak. And so, and they can, since they're not part of the government military apparatus, then, you know, hey, it's no problem to turn on whoever they want them to turn on. So this is very important. This is what they've been trying to do for a long time. So now we see the play that's here. It is now. We see the private mercenary army to protect the Jewish bankers, politicians, and puppet regimes globally. And Greece is an example of how that's being employed. Unbelievable.
Well, I do think that if the military was brought back to this country, perhaps something good could actually happen. We could protect this country. I think a lot of the destructive programming that it has gone into people could hopefully be – they could be healed. Hopefully some of these people who have experienced a lot of things that they did not need to experience, that they could be healed, rehabilitated, and people who have been vetted, these veterans who have been vetted, could play a part in a new nationalism. And it's amazing to me, again, the hypocrisy of it all, that the Department of Homeland Security deems it an absolute priority that they you know, protect the borders of, say, Afghanistan. Protect it meaning let all of the opium through. That they protect the borders of all these countries in the Middle East that are near Israel, yet they open up our southern border and just let millions of illegals flood through. And then you have these false patriots like Rand Paul now saying that, you know what, we're going to have to find you a path to citizenship. We'll find you a path to the American dream. So you know, even Rand now is embracing the new Republican ideology that we need to reach out to these Mexicans. We need to say, si se puede, like Obama used to say.
And they're never going to, and it's so stupid because they're never going to vote for them anyway. They are all about becoming part of the welfare state. But besides that.
But it's amazing. Yeah. Well, let's make sure terrorists never attack America by, you know, going to all the countries around Israel. But then we just let whoever wants to come in through the southern border come in and just live here indefinitely. Well, we'll even pay you. We'll give you services for free. No, our people can afford it. Don't you worry.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and this is an example. This is actually a good thing, though, Kyle, because this proves when you hear Rand Paul saying, "Hey, let's bring in all the illegals now," just like the Democrats, right? Just like and of course, everybody that listens to these type of shows already knows that the two-party thing's a scam and all that. That Ron Paul, that was a scam. That was just an escape valve. It was actually more than that. It was to instill free market principles, free trade principles, and Ayn Rand Jewish philosophies, and to instill that into the truth movement, which is what that was all about. The Chicago School, the Murray Rothbards, if you will. That's what that was all about.
If there's a picture of you standing in front of the Wailing Wall with a yarmulke on, there's no way that you can ever be credible in my book, let's say.
Yep.
That's a disqualification for ever being a national protectionist.
Absolutely. That's it. Done. But, you know, the problem they're going to have, their talking points have been created, you know, coming from the SPLC, the ADL, and all these groups. Their talking points have always been to put this narrative and attack it as a right-wing operation, okay? And people keep falling into that trap. But guess what? They're going to have a hard time with something like national protectionism because it's not Chicago free market economics. It's not that at all. It actually is political platform and a system that would protect the working class, okay? It actually believes in a tariff system to generate revenue instead of an income tax to take away the fruits of the labor of the working class of this country. It is not something for rich white people who look down on the working class to consume. This is something that unites the working class of this country, and that's traditionally been something controlled completely by the Jewish Bolsheviks on the left. So this right here puts a wrench into their little narrative, and this is why it's so important, because we're not talking about the same old Alex Jones, Murray Rothbard, Chicago Economics School here. We're talking about a movement that is, you know, I don't want to say national socialism because that's been demonized so much, but let's face it, it protects the workers, it protects the businesses, it keeps the loyalty and the money in this country to take care of our people and our civilization.
Mike Blau in the chat has a great idea here, which is to promote small and medium businesses. It seems so simple, obvious, but if we actually put together a program of this to support small and medium businesses, people knew of an alternative to funding our own enslavement, I think we could really start moving some money away from these Jewish interests and helping our own people to flourish.
Absolutely, and that goes hand in hand with the policing as well. At the same, they can go hand in hand because, you know, you need protection. And that's what the Golden Dawn did. They protected the small businesses in Greece, but what did they do? They used their policing forces they created from the grassroots, from the ground up, to then make sure that illegal businesses – by illegal aliens were not allowed to thrive in their community, which were putting the Greek citizens out of business.
Yeah.
Their small business, okay? And that's being done here, where I live. You know, you can't get an interest-free loan from a bank to start a convenience store or to open a small business here, but guess what? These Pakistanis can. These Indians can coming over.
Well, we need to fill our diversity quotas.
Yes.
That's something I would eventually want to make sure was never seen again. Affirmative action or diversity quotas.
Oh, God. Yeah. It's
disgusting. Yeah. A disgrace.
Yeah. It's a disgrace, man. It really is.
You know, I liked what you said about JFK last night, was that not everything he did was all that great. And kind of like Martin Luther King, he was turned into a saint probably for a reason. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
And
multiculturalism.
That's one of them. Yeah. And he was really a big push behind equal opportunity.
The trampling of states' rights and gun confiscation from the War Act, the UN Directive, which a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's... And I've actually heard that it was JFK. I mean, this might be somewhat common knowledge, or perhaps not even completely correct, but usually those two kind of go hand in hand. Common knowledge is not always completely correct. But it seems that he was the one to withhold full support for the Bay of Pig invasion, that would have actually stopped communism right there at our doorstep. And left a lot of people out there to be killed as they were going to take over the island.
Yep, and he allowed that to kind of expand there through the region, which was very critical at the time. He was also making secret deals going behind the backs of the intelligence channels and making secret deals with the Soviet Union. Yeah.
Huh. And David's saying Bay of Pigs was this October surprise to get Nixon in. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
It could have been also a way to discredit him. I do agree with some of the things that he was seeking to do, and he might have been one of these people who became a renegade, let's say, and wanted to actually help out his country by getting rid of the banking tyranny under which we live.
Yep. And I think that's why. And look, he did understand to a certain extent the Jewish problem. His dad did, okay? When he was ambassador to England, I believe, during the Roosevelt administration, he withdrew his position there because he thought we should have been allied with Germany. This is important to understand. And he also wanted to start a new news network that would have been not controlled by the Jews in the early days of television. So there were a lot of reasons that they wanted to get rid of Kennedy. A lot of reasons. Trying to keep a nuke out of the hands of Israel. Another one.
Yep.
So there you go.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to put out the message again that if somebody wants to call in, challenge us, support us, question us, do whatever, the call number is 347-633-9657. We don't get enough feedback from callers, I think, on some of our shows. That could all because we only have 2 hours a week for most of these shows, unless we're part of a roundtable.
Yeah,
there's a lot of information we're trying to get in.
Oh yeah, there is, and and it's always good to hear fresh voices because sometimes you need a different opinion from the outside listening in who has a different perspective. We can add something, put something on the table. This is a group effort here. I mean, we need everybody contributing and working together and helping each other out. This is how we're going to succeed, trying to bring a nationalist movement to this country.
Yeah, speaking of which, I thought Dash did a good job last night with his two guests talking mm-hmm. about money and a real solution that could be implemented in terms of our monetary system. It really would be very simple once you kick these guys out of power. It sounds easier said than done, but once we can take control of our monetary supply, we could really unchain our people and see such economic growth. We're being so restrained. The creativity, the energy, the ingenuity of the American people, of the European people, has just been squandered.
Yeah, and David put a great point in the chat room there. Our own credit unions would be great. North Dakota model, that's a great, great idea. That's something that can be moved upon. There's no doubt about it. And look, you know, another thing in this truth movement that's been demonized is the idea that a central bank is the most evil thing that you could possibly have. Well, it's not the concept of a bank that's evil or centralized that's evil. It's the concept of who's running it and does it benefit and is its loyalty to the people and to the nation.
Yes.
That is the problem, okay? And usury, okay? Profiting. Instead of using the currency to build up the civilization and the nation and to help promote job growth, we have a system now where they're just making money off of the currency itself, that's all, and turning us into debt slaves. So that's the problem. It's not the institutions necessarily, as it is the people and the vermin that have come in and corrupted the institutions.
Now, Mike, we have a caller, but really quickly, I wanted to ask you what you think the country should or could do in terms of paying off debts to other nations, which were, you know, basically – debts that we're putting our children, grandchildren, et cetera, into unending slavery that we didn't agree to. What do you think should be done with those?
It's very simple. Those debts, we don't owe anything to anybody. Those debts are debts owed by the Jewish private bank that we did not sign on to. So after they are removed from office – and we disconnect from their Jewish banking system, then they can be sued or dealt with however they want to with these other countries. That is not our responsibility, and the debt lie is one of the biggest pieces of Jewish propaganda that's being pushed today, because they're trying to use this debt lie to promote the Jewish austerity, okay,
yep,
to rob and to now loot the retirement funds and so on and so forth. This is one of the biggest pieces of Jewish bullshit that's ever been promoted. And again, that's the Rand Paul, Ron Paul baloney. The debt is going to come. No, it's not. They can run debt into infinity if they want to. Okay?
It's
I'm
like,
serious.
It's like you're trying to pilot a ship with a big boulder in it and people telling you, you just got to make the boulder a little bigger. And you should just dump it in the ocean. Get rid of that. And then you'll be fine. It's just a lot easier that way. I liked your answer. I thought it was succinct and poignant. Let's go to this call here.
Yeah.
630, you are on the air.
Hi, guys. Ray from Illinois. And usually I'm a podcast listener. I don't have a lot of time for getting on to live shows. This is my first time actually with Renegade.
And not Ray from Ohio, who trolled his show recently on our behalf.
Thanks for
calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, you guys are the best. Mike, you're my age. Kyle, you're a national treasure at your age. I wish to God at 29 I knew what you knew. I really hope
Thank
that you.
You
guys can get your message somehow distilled in the American people, because it's so sorely lacking, this whole idea of the American person being a politically correct person is the most disgusting concept to me. And moving this idea forward that we need to wake up and get people to move in a direction that is in their best interest, not in the best interest of everyone, but in the best interest of themselves, is so vitally important to what we have right now. Because I feel that as a fellow white person, I've been compromised my entire life to continuously bow down and stoop down to a level that's below what I'm able of accomplishing.
Yep, your abilities have been squandered, just as mine have, and I'm sure Mike's have. And, we've obviously had all these programs in the way of us ever getting to really realize them. You know, we get lost on these different dead ends and drowning in our own sorrows, basically at how terrible the world is. And not being able to do anything about it.
You're taught all these filters. You can't say this. You can't do that. And ultimately, it's all to your own demise. It's so disgusting.
Yeah, it really is, man. It really is. And this is why, you know, and that, and this has been the whole point of this programming, is to frustrate and to make, you know, for all of us to be depressed, to make us want to quit, to give up, just to beat us down. That has been the point from the very beginning, to enslave us, to encircle us, to beat us down using political correctness and all these Jew tools that they've used against us, and so we would just give up in frustration and resort to drug abuse, alcoholism, and our own self-destruction. And that is what they want from us, you know, for us to be depraved. And Mike,
Mike, I think you've really pointed out the true goal here, and that the ultimate destruction of the white race, you know, you take the color white, you add anything to it, it's not white. And that's where they want us to be.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. We've been in a mess, man. But we need to get out of it, and we can get out of it. And I really do believe that, caller. And, you know, I think that that we just need to unite and start standing up and publicly rejecting the program. And where you live there, is there in the neighborhood, do you have problems with crime there or anything like that?
Not so much where I'm at, but Chicago is a mess. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I'm in the far suburbs, so it's not at all bad there. But I'm thinking long term, you know, the 20 years, 40 years, 100 years down the road, what's going to be left? It's a matter of stopping the passive voice, stopping the passive stance, and finally standing up and saying, okay, we're a minority now. Fuck you. It's time to stand up.
You know, they want us to become passive. They want to progressively commit these crimes against us so that we just get used to it and get desensitized. And that's something that can happen to a lot of us who look at this information too much. You start to get desensitized. I mean, I had to look at those clips I put together so many times for the reality of racial violence, and I'm seeing the things over and over again, and it's still just – it's very hard to look at. And to – I think that they want us to laugh at our own demise, and when we instead get furious, get hateful when we look at their propaganda that they're putting out – I think that is the important thing to do. You can't become desensitized to it. You can't get used to it. You can't laugh at it. You've got to get angry, and then you've got to do something about it.
It's like the various phases of recognizing a problem and dealing with a problem. And most people aren't even at phase one. They're just watching Disney and sports, and they're just fine with life and never look past any of that. Once you get past that phase one, phase two, phase three, whatever, how many phases there are, you come out the other end, you're like, okay, so now what am I going to do? And I think, Mike, you said it best with the whole, when someone confronts you with this topic, you can't just back down anymore. You can't apologize anymore, because that's been happening so long now that what California, the stats are what, 30% white now from a 90% white country in the beginning? Not saying that whites have to rule or conquer, but at some point, we don't exist.
Yeah,
and we have no homeland. White people are not indigenous anywhere. They're not one of these protected species.
Let's also be clear: the people that are flooding in to Europe and North America, the immigrants that are flooding in here, are people who are used to being enslaved. They have grown up years of being enslaved in their original countries they come from. Okay, so they're already trained and programmed to live that way. And so they're easily controlled once they get here and docile, and they're used to living that way anyway. So the police state doesn't bother them. You know, the Jewish control of them doesn't really bother them as much. Okay? But we are people who used to be proud, who were free, who had pride, who could hold our heads up high. They want to make sure that we are decimated and made to be extinct because many of us, are not adaptable.
Hey, great point, Mike. Caller, do you have any Ray? Sorry, do you have any anything else you wanted to add? We're just running out of time here.
No, I appreciate your time, and I thank both of you immensely for what you're doing.
Thanks, Ray. Appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts. Mike, any final thoughts here?
Yeah, I think we need to get this thing rolling. I would like to get this. I like what you said. The idea of protecting trying to promote small business, trying to help small businesses in our communities. And also, I think we need to move together with getting our communities and a neighborhood watch system going. I think that's important to make our presence known. And as far as people complaining about uniforms and armbands, I have no problem with that. I would love to see a unified nationalist front in this country with uniforms marching in the streets, taking this damn country back. I make no apologies for that.
Hell yeah. All right. Thank you, Mike, and thank you all that you are listening. I think I should just go out perhaps playing the reality of racial violence audio that I've got here just as a reminder of why I fight and why I know Mike fights as well.
Django Unchained, I play a slave. How black is that? And in the movie, I have to wear chains. How whack is it? But don't be worried about it, because I get out the chains, I get free, I save my wife, and I kill all the white people in the movie.
I don't want to go to the future and find out what happens to white people, because we're going to pay hard for this shit. You got to know that.
These 8 adults and 4 teenagers, the youngest just 12, were arrested after Seminole County Sheriff's deputies say they beat up pregnant Ashley Flurney.
Well, it's all there, black and white, really. I just hope the white part doesn't screw it up, because we tend to do that.
Yes.
I mean, we're lucky to be white.
It's not luck. It's privilege. We're privileged that people see us, not the color.
Privilege that we don't get stared at when we walk into the room.
Privilege that we don't get followed by security when we go shopping, or pulled over when we're in the wrong neighborhood.
We're privileged because society is set up for us, and our silence keeps it in place.
We're privileged, and that's unfair.
Teenagers connected to one serious crime, the rape and robbery of a pizza delivery driver.
They're not going to just fall from number 1 to 2. They're going to hold us down and fuck us in the ass forever. And we totally deserve it. We totally deserve it.
My concern is doing away with whiteness. Whiteness is a form of racial oppression. Sure. The suggestion is that it is somehow possible to separate whiteness from oppression. And it is not. There can be no white race without the phenomenon of white supremacy.
Some cracker out there on the right.
To me, whiteness is an identity that rises entirely out of oppression. Whiteness is not a culture, it's not a religion, it's not a language, it's simply an oppressive social category.
Ground weather, it's the weatherman or the weather underground, the last above ground convention. And sitting in a room, and the question that was debated was it or was it not the duty of every good revolutionary to kill all newborn white babies? And at that point, it seemed like a relevant framing of an issue. The logic being, hey, look, through no fault of their own, these white kids are going to grow up to be part of an oppressive racial establishment internationally. And so really, your duty is to kill newborn white babies.
We are going to exterminate white people, because that, in my estimation, is the only conclusion I have come to. We have to exterminate white people off of the face of the planet.
Census Bureau just reported that for the first time in U.S. history, minorities now seem to be surpassing white folks in births. And the forecast is that white folks are on track to becoming, and I hate to say this, the minority in America.
But don't be worried about it, because I get out the chains, I get free, I save my wife, and I kill all the white people in the movie. How great is that?
Get out of town by something. Say if they don't get out of town, we'll kill the men, we'll kill the women, we'll kill the children, we'll kill the babies, we'll kill the blind, we'll kill the cripple, we'll kill the crazy, we'll kill the maggots, we'll kill the lesbians. I said, God damn it, we kill them all.
We are going to exterminate white people, because that, in my estimation, is the only conclusion I have come to. We have to...
get free, I save my wife, and I kill all the white people in the movement.